This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If I were you, an advice pod, finally I'll get my problem solved. I started writing in, but much to my chagrin, they just started roasting me. And that's about the time that I began to see that they don't take themselves so seriously. So many people need real advice. What the hell, psychology? I'm never writing it again. To if I were you, to if I were you.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
You like that?
I loved that.
That's actually, yeah, that's Blink-182. It's an acoustic cover of What's My Age Again.
Yeah, I'm like very into sort of like an emotional acoustic cover of a pop punk song. That's like, that's definitely up my alley.
Have they done that before? Has like, is there like an official Mark Hoppus acoustic cover of that song?
Yeah, there was like an acoustic album or something, or like secret acoustic songs on some of their on like one of their albums, but I don't know if they did like an acoustic Damn It that I remember, like a fucking, like a really mellow acoustic Damn It. That would be awesome. Maybe they have done it. I'll look it up online.
When I saw them live, they said, "What's my age again?" And then at the end they say, "Where's my Asian friend?" Was
That's
that
right.
Like a common joke that they did in live shows, or did I just catch lightning in a bottle?
I think that was a common one at the live show. Like on, if you listen to the Mark, Tom, and Travis show, which is their live album, he says, "Where's my Asian friend?"
Well, this actually might have been written by an Asian friend of ours. It's a day oneer shouting out from the 2018 Vancouver live show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Said he tried to find us afterwards, but his date wanted to leave. So.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Maybe it was my virginity story.
Nothing really to plug, but if you two can follow me on Instagram, Vineet on the beat. That's V-I-N-E-E-T.
Wow. Are you going to follow him on Instagram?
I mean,
it feels like that's a lot more to ask than plugging his Bandcamp or SoundCloud.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times. Like fans are like, "Follow me," and I'm like, "All right, I'll follow a fan." Like I did a Instagram live the other day, and somebody asked if I would follow him, so I followed him. And now I just like occasionally see a photo of a stranger in my feed. It's not that bad, but it's, you know, literally the least I can do, I guess.
Yeah, but it's sort of like a lot. It's kind of like it'll be a part of a small dickling part of your life forever.
Yeah, it's part of my brain.
When we were in Adelaide, do you remember that? It was like this really sweet young kid had like, should not have been at our show. He was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
And he like participated in some kind, it was in Adelaide. He was part of the show. We used his name. I think we maybe did trivia when we were there that time with Streeter. I'm not exactly sure what the deal was, but anyway, he came on stage, I think, and I was like, "I want to see you grow up," and I followed him on Instagram.
Yeah,
and I still see his like stories and stuff.
What's his name? Is it like Brady or something?
Walter. Shout out to Walter. I think he still listens. I hope he does. Otherwise, it's real weird that I follow him on Instagram still.
Yeah, I see on the story you're like DMing him a lot too. I wonder what.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that he was 12. He's old now. I mean, Christ.
I see I'm following your close friend's story on Instagram, and it's really just me and Walter who can view it, I guess.
How do you should be able to see that.
Yeah, I guess that's a bug in the system, I guess. I don't know why me and Walter are just weighing in on your close friend's story.
Let's start the show. Let's start the show before I get very uncomfortable.
Actually, speaking of your story, I wanted to ask you something about your Instagram story. Yesterday, you posted a picture of yourself biking through Manhattan, and there's like empty streets, including specifically an empty street in the West Village.
Right.
2 hours later, I see a viral hit on the internet, which is a photo of a park in the West Village that is literally overflowing with New Yorkers hanging out, not wearing a mask at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you see that park, and were the streets empty because everybody was at that one park?
Yeah. I think basically the parks are super crowded because people are needing to stay at home, but it's incredibly nice and it's hard to stay in your house, and people are like, oh, we're allowed to go on a walk. Oh, the parks are open as long as you maintain social distance. And then next thing you know, you're sort of in there, it's getting really crowded, and then you see people, real assholes, not wearing the mask. So the parks are really crowded, but the streets, I think because businesses are closed and maybe because people are, I mean, no, not very many New Yorkers have cars, so the streets were empty.
Yeah, but did you see that park?
No, but we rode our bikes like up the West Side Highway for a while, so I was also like near like the High Line Park and like those parks in the West Side Highway, and those were super crowded. People weren't like on top of each other though. Like, I've definitely been in parks that are like overrun with people where you can like barely find a square for your blanket, and everybody was like 6 feet away. Nobody was like got close to me when I was in the park. Really the frustrating thing is like seeing people without masks running by you and stuff.
Yeah, because they're talking, they're spitting, micro coughing, and that's just everywhere.
In that park there was like a group of like 10 people all exercising together, not wearing masks. And I was like, do you think that you're being safe? I don't,
do they think that they're being safe, or do they think it's like, it's probably fine, or like, oh, the worst is behind us, it's time to fucking let loose?
I think it must be a little bit of all of that stuff. Cause I mean, that's like why I wanted to go on a bike ride, but I wore a mask, but you know, it's still like not 100% good.
Yeah, people are definitely taking like little baby step towards pushing the boundary a little too much. It's like, oh, I can take a walk. All right, I'll go to the park. All right, I'm hiking. What's a picnic? I'm already taking a picnic.
I was seeing something on like that. I was seeing something on Twitter of like an aerial shot of like the same photo, and people are further apart than it looks like.
Oh, it's the vantage point. Since he was on the ground, you can't see how far people are from each other.
Right, exactly.
I knew you'd take their side.
I mean, I don't know. It all sucks so much. And then you do run around, and you just like, it puts you in a bad mood because you like, you see people that are putting other people at risk, but then also maybe you're sort of doing it a little bit too.
Yeah. I read a funny tweet. I forget who wrote it, but it's like, I saw so many people outside today when I was outside today.
Yeah. that's what it is.
It should just be me that's there, and I see all these other people there when I'm also there.
Yeah. I guess the thing is, like, if you're gonna go outside, like, you gotta wear a mask and try your best to stay away from people. And then if you're doing that, definitely don't go and like see friends and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it's slightly better. It's slightly better than the protest that's happening in Southern California, where people are just fucking creating a mini parade to reopen stores and stuff.
Yeah, it's man. It's also so funny that like people are like, reopen stores, but like you can just, if you like, you don't have to protest for the stores to be open. You can be outside.
Yeah, but I really need the store to be open too.
Like, what stores do you want? And like, food stores are open, cafes
yes,
are open. Like,
but I need a haircut, and I need to bowl, and I need to golf miniature style. That's right, a putt putt.
Yeah, I guess.
Concert venues in Missouri are opening on Monday, they said, the governor.
Yeah, I wonder. if like just because concert venues and just because bowling alleys open, does that mean that they'll be crowded again? Like
I doubt crowded, but I bet all the people who are protesting are also down to go bowling. And those people who are protesting are not like, let's take it easy on the bowling alleys. This is a little bit too far.
Yeah.
I know I protested for this, but I feel kind of bad. Let's stay distant.
I'm glad I don't live there. I mean, being in New York is weird enough.
Oh, live where? In Huntington Beach?
Yeah, and like one in any of those places with like the protests and the places that are like going to open bowling alleys. Like, I'm glad I'm not there.
Yeah, I worry about the next time I go bowling. I'm afraid it's going to start like affecting my game because I was starting to roll pretty well.
Yeah, and you have your own ball, so that's at least a little bit. That's good.
Yeah, but it hits the public pins, so like I'm going to have to wear the dishwashing gloves to bowl.
It's going to be hard for it to slip off your fingers at that
point. Yeah, like if I have like a 410 split set up and like I'm wearing like a dishwashing glove and a hazmat suit, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to like grip the ball enough to where it like will hit the lane correctly. You know what I mean?
You looked up a lot of bowling lingo for this. You knew lane.
And you knew split. Nice. And you sort of said spare. Which was good.
Which was rare.
All right, we're recording this on a Sunday, a beautiful Sunday, I assume, in New York.
It was a beautiful Sunday.
Sunday, May 3rd. This is when the dates start sounding really nice. Sunday, May 3rd, almost Mother's Day, warm out, 78, not too humid yet.
Everything was easy when it was March. It was fine when it was April. When it's freaking Cinco de Mayo, when it's 72 and partly cloudy. Yeah.
You're telling me I have to make a margarita and Zoom with a friend or two?
No, people are outside. They're doing to-go cocktails in New York City and people are sitting in the parks and they're drinking their cocktails and they're not wearing their masks. It's over, okay?
They're like kids who were but put in detention and now they're just sort of like taking one foot out the door. Like, all right, I'm not getting in trouble. All right, I just go to the kitchen, Mom. All right, now I'm outside. I can't hang out with a friend for 5 minutes.
I was telling Jill it's similar to like a hookup where you're like, okay, you can come inside, but like, I'm not going to kiss you. And then you guys start like making out. You're like, all right, you're going to sleep over, but we're not going past first base. And then the next thing, everyone's fucking.
Let me just take my mask off because it's fucking hot under here, babe. I can't kiss you with this thing on. Let me smooch for a second.
So everyone's necking in the park now.
And you're recording in your closet. You turn your closet into some sort of mobile, futuristic micro office.
That's right. I had a little built-in, like a built-in cabinets in this closet, you know, where you can like... all the shelves are on those like those hooks that you can like raise and lower.
Yeah. So you open the closet and it's like shelves, but now your computer and your printer are in there.
Yeah, I raised all the shelves that I could like all the way up, and then the bottom one I lowered as much as I could so it's desk height.
And nice.
Yeah, it actually really works. It gives me a lot of joy.
What about your chair situation? Is it an office desk, or are you just having a regular roller?
It's not a roller. I'm like, the reason I like this, it's an armchair basically. It's an accent chair.
It's not meant to like sit at for 8 hours a day though.
This is like, it looks like an old teacher's chair, like an old office chair, no roller, but it's pretty comfortable. It's got it's supportive. It's got a nice firm back. And I didn't want to go rolling chair because then I would, where I set this up is like my den. This is where I relax at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Jill and I watch TV in here and I don't want to see a desk and I don't want to see a rolling chair. I want to leave work behind. So this chair looks nice in this room when it's not at the desk, you know?
I see. So you want to like use it, but then like be able to hide it completely.
Yeah, like let it be part of the room, and a rolling chair wouldn't accomplish that.
Yeah, I'm debating whether to get a chair because sofa living, which I've been doing for the last month, is starting to catch up with me. The sofa is starting to die.
Yeah, I think that. Wait, so you're in your office right now, right? What are you
saying? Yeah, I'm sitting on this black rolling chair, but
that's nice. Isn't it?
It looks nice, but it's not. I'm not at this desk. Yeah. I'm usually on the couch in this room.
This is that room on the couch. That's where you work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I mean I spent a month and a half working mostly on a couch, and it doesn't make you feel your best.
It's not work mode. It's like relaxing mode.
Yeah. Well, we can save this for unsolicited advice, actually, because this is I want to talk more about my chair.
Okay, great. Save it for unsolicited chair advice in the second act. All right. What is this? This is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the WOD, hosted by Odd. I'm God.
And I'm Todd.
God and Todd. So the world's most powerful creature and also a guy named Todd.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We got some real questions here from real people.
A golden god and a troll named Rod.
That's right. Shout out.
Like, yeah, I knew someone was going to fucking tweet it at me, so I had to say it out loud.
Beat them to the pod. This one's pretty fun. It's Zoom related, so it's sort of Corona adjacent, but mostly nice. A Zoom related blunder from a guy we'll call Rod.
Rod?
Last week, a group of guys I normally play video games with decided to try something new and play virtual board games online. Imagine a website that allows you to interact with a virtual tabletop and everyone can participate. We also have a Zoom conference running so we can hear each other talk and strategize about the board game. Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it was a particularly hot day and my balls were heating up, so without really thinking about it, I sort of stood up, whipped out my dick and balls, and proceeded to air out those toasty boys right in front of the computer.
Jesus.
Much to my horror, I heard one of my friends shout, "Hey, what the hell's going on over there?" Only then do I realize I'm flashing six of my good buds on the Zoom call. I played it off as well as I could and mumbled something about forgetting that I was on video. We even finished the rest of the game without any problem. But guys, I'm a little fucked up in the head about this situation. What do I do? Do I mention this mistake on a group text? Do I apologize? Do I find a way to laugh about it? Or do I pretend this never happened? We're all in our late 20s and everybody is pretty chill, but I'm not sure if I'm obligated to say something and move past it or just let it be. Thanks. Love, Rod.
I think you're supposed to say something. You're not if you show everyone your dick and balls, you're not supposed to like mumble an excuse.
If these guys were really close friends, they'll think you were just kidding, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it, like also to, if I was on a Zoom call with Mike and Dave and Jeff and Dave showed everyone his balls, it would make sense and we would all be like, you know, that's nothing. But if I was like on a Zoom call with you and Marty
and half of HeadGum.
Well, that's a work one, I guess. But I mean, like I have different friends that are like, I feel like the friends that I grew up with were like more immature because we were teenagers together. Like,
yeah,
you and I became friends when we were young adults. Like, we've never shown each other our balls to the way that Rosenberg and I do.
So you're saying your ball friends, your genitals friends, are the ones that like you went through puberty together. So it's fine to show off your dicks and balls to each other.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's fine, but I think it's
good. Like, you're saying it's looked, it's smiled upon instead of frowned upon. This kind of behavior is actually smiled
encouraged.
Upon. Yeah, yeah. Everybody has a friend that's like that's. It makes sense that he takes out his D and B. But I'm wondering, like, I'm playing poker tonight with some high school friends. If I take out my D and B, would the reaction be LOLing? I bet some of them would laugh. Nobody would be horrified. I don't think.
I think the weird thing is like you laugh. There's like some friends where you laugh and you could play it off as like, yeah, like I got you guys. And then there's some friends that you would laugh it off and be like, oh my God, that's embarrassing. That was a mistake. But there's no world where you just like show everyone your penis on Zoom and then they're like, what was that? And you're like, oh, sorry, I forgot I was on Zoom.
It's like, almost more embarrassing. It's more embarrassing to like, air your balls and dick out. Like, I've never been so hot that like I just gotta whip out my junk and like sort of dry this swamp that I'm dealing with right now.
I think I've not like stood up to do that. I feel like I've like pulled aside the boxers and like tried to get some air into my underwear.
Yeah, maybe like peel off your nutsack against a sticky thigh. Yeah. But I'm not taking off my jeans and just like sort of air drying my genitals.
Right. I do think it deserves to be addressed. It's trying to like, it's such an obvious like thing that everybody notices, that everyone registers, that you can't just be like, you can't shrug it off.
No.
No, you can't shrug it off.
You need to have some sort of State of the Union Zoom public apology.
Well, no, you, now that's, it's weirder. I think just like, if there's a way where you can be like next time you guys play, be like, hey, maybe this time I won't flash you guys by accident. Let's get started. Like a little joke to acknowledge, but not like a group text. Be like, hey, everyone, I'd like to apologize for accidentally showing you my penis and balls. I was very hot, as you know.
You know, it was hot that day, and it got only hotter when I, and then you stand up.
Jesus.
Took out my little wiener as such. Or you could just do it every Zoom and like, now you're the guy that flashes their friends.
I would not say that. Well, then you won't be invited to the game. What did he say what game it was?
It was strip poker. I asked him in an email.
So that works. Yeah. That actually, you just jumped the gun.
They were playing Strip Catan.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been playing games on Zoom with friends?
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. I played played some Jackbox games. We've been playing Blank Slate. Have you ever played Blank Slate?
No.
It's, you basically have, there's two, it's like two word phrases. So an example would be, one of the cards says house blank. And then everyone writes down like what the other word should be, like what the natural word to follow house blank is. And then you all show each other what you wrote down at the same time. And the goal, the ultimate goal, is to match with only one other person and no one else. That's worth 3 points.
If you match with Game Boy.
Yeah. If you match with a couple people, it is like the Game Boy. If you match with a couple people, it's worth one. And if you don't match with anybody, it's zero. What would you write? House blank.
Arrest.
Oh, and I would have said house party. So we wouldn't have matched.
I see. But like party might be one that a bunch of people do.
Right.
And thus you'll get like many points. But if one person does house arrest, then me and that person.
Yes, exactly. And there's also what, there's also cards where you have like blank house. So that, you know, so it's, it goes the other way too. It's always a blank, but sometimes it's the first word, sometimes it's the second.
And you're playing over Zoom?
Yeah. It works well for Zoom because everyone has the video and you can see everyone's words. And it's kind of nice.
Are you writing it down or using your phone?
I write it down on my phone because it's easy to write it big and then erase it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. Highly recommend. Do you play anything?
Just the Switch, just the Nintendo Switch. I would love to be invited to the because I know you said you're playing with friends or whatever.
Yeah, I'm playing with just like close friends, people you know, obviously.
Close friends.
Like, yeah.
Walter?
Walter's there, yeah.
Yeah, he is there because I was DMing him earlier and he was like kind of standoffish slash... He replied kind of like I would reply right away and he would reply in like an hour later and he'd be like, sorry, I'm busy, yeah, or whatever. He's right. 15 now.
He's 15. He's a little older than that, buddy.
Yeah. Would he do for blank house? All right, let's play a mini round right now.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
For house, I'll do lonely because I live in a lonely house. What would you have done?
Me and Walter would have done brick house and it would have been
house.
Funny because then we would have sung. We'd been like, she's a brick.
Brick. I like that song.
No, yeah. That's me and Walter's song. So you wouldn't be able, you would have said lonely house.
It's a lonely
and that's,
house. She's really lonely.
Well, that's why we don't invite you, because you do shit like that like kind of bumps us out, you know?
I befriended a mouse the other day.
Really?
Yeah, titmouse.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So the mouse will bite me.
A
and
chipmunk
just...
and a mouse. I would never. That sounds like a fun little, like a fairy
Disney
tale
cartoon.
Or something.
Yeah,
definitely
Mother Goose style. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure. I am not one, but I get that. I get where you're coming.
You're
from.
You're not a titmouse. I know. I see.
No, I'm not a titmouse.
You're not a titmouse. But you are a chipmunk.
All right, let's take just a break and thank some sponsors, and we'll be back with some unsolicited advice. Will it be about chairs? Will it be about something completely different? Let's find out.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah. You put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz, and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we have returned.
Hola.
Jake, do you have any?
Yes, I mentioned it when I was talking about the chair, when I was talking about my desk.
Yeah.
It took me a long time. It took me a very long time because we've been under this shelter at home order for a while. But I think maybe around 2 or 3 weeks ago, I realized that I needed to, like, I couldn't just like sit at the kitchen table, couldn't just sit at the couch and do my work. So I started like just establishing my work space, like, you know, lay out a desk, make it nice and neat. And it feels really nice to have that set up.
Like a little assignment or a little area to do other assignments, or both?
Both, really. Like, it feels good to accomplish any small task these days. So setting up a desk was like a fun little task. It was like a little project that I had to plan out a little bit.
Sick.
And then once it was done, it's like, it is more zen place to work where you're not like, you know, you're not just sitting on your couch all day where you maybe eat your breakfast, where you watch TV, where you chill on your phone, but then where you're also trying to work. It's just like, it doesn't work. It doesn't make you very effective. And this is like something that I listened to on a podcast even before this quarantine, that like people that work from home, this is the kind of thing that you need to do. People that work from home knew this stuff already. But it does feel really nice to have a workspace that is specifically there to work. It makes you more productive and it makes you feel a little less listless around the house.
Yeah. The problem is that nobody knew how long this was going to last. So it's like week one, you're like, I don't want to start setting shit up because what if we're back in the office in 2 weeks? And then you wait for a month and you're like, all right, it's already been a month. How much longer can this last? I don't want to get a desk. I don't want to get a chair. Now it's like week nine and like, all right, maybe for the summer, we won't be all going into an office anytime soon, unless you live in Missouri and concerts are starting next week. Yeah. You might have to be working from home for longer than you think. So you might as well get as comfortable as possible there.
Yeah. And I mean, really, even if this thing gets lifted next week, for even if it really disappears, like Trump promised.
He said it would.
It'll still be nice to have a really elegant work from home solution for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe everybody's already done this too, but it definitely helped me a lot. There's a world though too, where like, there's just like staggered shelter from home stuff until there's like the vaccine.
Yeah.
Like we might go into lockdowns again. So having something will be helpful, even if we get to go back to work soon.
Yeah. I guess even if you're allowed to do something doesn't mean that people will. Like, they might relax the orders a little bit. People who are still cautious will probably still continue to stay at home and work from home if they can.
Yeah. I think like basically people that can work online from home, that's going to be like, we're going to be the last people to return to work.
Right. Cause you don't need to.
It's the frontline and essential workers now. Next up, like maybe like the restaurants and the events, like people that rely on like goods and services. And then us who can pod from home, we're the least essential people in the world.
I saw somewhere that like podcasting was deemed an essential thing on some website, like state funded website, or like an official .gov website. Was like podcasting and radio services is considered essential if like somebody pulls you over.
I wonder why.
It's probably because what we say helps influence the future of not only COVID response, but evolution going forward. What I do, what I say, what I speak, what I think actually influences not only the tens of thousands of listeners we have, but all of their friends, so that
And
we're not making a difference. We are the difference.
One of the things you said earlier in this episode was that you befriended a titmouse. You're like, I befriended a titmouse.
Yeah. So like, that's something that I said as a throwaway goof. That
you also
like,
talked about showing like a Zoom call your little dick
balls. Because it was Yeah, and like that going forward can really like butterfly effect style.
You've been making fun of me for having a young friend.
I'm speaking insinuating truth
some really gross shit
to power. Actually, I really am speaking truth to power with regards to the titmouse, with regards to the Walter, with regards to the dick and the balls.
The Walter thing. I will admit that I do deserve the scrutiny.
Actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to take my dick out. It's not warm in this.
Wow, you are a chipmunk.
Yeah.
It's so flat.
There it is. All right, let's get some more questions and answers under our belt.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're not an essential service at all.
That's right. We're not doing shit.
Oh, here's one about feet, since you're an expert. This is from a lady.
Okay.
We'll call her Murphy Brown.
Nice.
The greatest lady of all. Been listening and watching to you guys since high school, and I'm a 27-year-old female attorney still maintaining the humor of a 13-year-old boy. There you have it.
Nice.
Thanks for all the laughs. Here's my issue. I've had this fucking foot injury for a year now. I've been to doctors and all that shit, and I'm still in the process of figuring out what's wrong. Now with the quarantine, there are definitely no appointments and thus no end in sight. Jake, you were in a similar situation with your foot for so long. How did you stay positive? How did you stay fit? I miss running and sports, and it gets to me sometime. Thank you, and any advice be truly appreciated here. Love ya.
Damn, love you too. I feel your pain.
Literally. How is your foot, by the way?
It's great. That's really good.
So you don't feel anything anymore? Would you say you're back to 100 or like at a 90-ish percent that you can deal
probably
with?
Probably 90-ish percent that I can deal with. It doesn't, the pain, it's only really been like better for a month, but it doesn't limit me at all. I'm doing like, I'm exercising, like doing weighted lunges and skaters and some like burpees, basically stuff that I never would have been able to do that would have been way too painful on my foot before.
Wow. Are you walking around barefoot or is that still not in the cards?
That's still something that hurts. I think that will like basically always hurt a little bit.
But that's okay because you have Crocs and or the other Crocs that you like.
Yeah. Having slippers at home is something I'd recommend. Even if you don't have foot pain, it's just real cozy.
Preventative.
And yeah, I've been like running, riding my bike. So I'm not limited anymore.
Well, don't rub it in. This lady is still dealing with foot pain.
Yeah, sucks to be her.
Oh, God.
As long as I'm good.
Are you good?
No. I'm cripplingly depressed. And I have joint pain in my shoulder.
I thought the foot thing would actually make me happier. And if anything, it's only gotten me worse.
I would just be proactive. Even if stuff's not working, trying to find a solution and not wallowing is helpful. Stretching, hot baths, cold compresses.
All the good stuff.
Foam rolling, get that lacrosse ball. I don't know. Yeah. Roll out your glutes. Do calf races.
How do you stay fit off your feet?
You can get a pull-up bar.
Oh.
Pull-up bar, doing push-ups on your knees. There's plenty of stuff. I bet you can like search on YouTube modified workouts for feet injuries for sure.
Yeah.
Plenty of stuff.
You're not the only one with a hurt foot. There's Jake and a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm. Bands, for sure, bands. You can find a way.
And do you think...
Just be proactive.
Do you think that there is a surgery out there that will fix her?
Maybe. There was one out there that fixed me, but it's hard now to go into a hospital to like get an MRI or something, you know? So
yeah.
You probably have to wait till this clears up. But when it does, if your insurance or if you can afford it, the MRI is what revealed my torn ligaments. So that'll help too.
Oh, MRI versus just x-ray.
Yeah, I had gotten x-rays and nothing was wrong. And stupidly, I didn't get an MRI for like an extra year. And then they were like, "It's you have a torn ligament."
All right, so MRI, which might be essential.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah.
All right, one last question.
Sure.
This one's a little lighthearted. What are some happy and funny shows or series you're watching now? Thank you. Listen every Monday morning. Love. Who was with Murphy Brown? I forget the other characters on that show.
Dr. Brown.
All right. Caroline in the City. Thank nice. You. Love Caroline in the City. Okay. All right. So are you escaping into the world of TV shows and or podcasts to make yourself feel happy?
Yeah. I love escaping into content that was created before Corona time because it's high quality and it's good. And so much content is like made for Corona right now that I don't like it all the time.
Yeah. So what's on your current rotation?
Okay. So Jill and I, the Michael Jordan documentary, great. Mm-hmm. Westworld, not great, but still fun to watch. And it's very beautifully done.
Nice.
Aaron Paul's awesome this season. There was, what else? Oh, Devs. And there's one other thing we're watching. Oh, Billions comes back tonight. Jill and I shamelessly love Billions. It's so over the top. It's so stupid. And I love it so much.
Do you watch, like when you're binging shows, I'm new to this whole watching TV thing because I used to just watch sports so much that like I haven't seen these shows. Do you watch them like all of Devs in a row, then all of Billions in a row, then all of this in a row? Or like, are you like spacing it out like regular TV programming?
it feels like a mix almost. Like we'll watch like two or three devs in a row and then be like, and then just like sometimes, you know, like I'm not in the mood tonight. Like I need something that's like a little lighter. So we watch something else.
Yeah.
So it's not like all of it all at once. And it's not like this tonight, this tomorrow, and this the next day. It's just like, it's really whatever we feel like. But I feel like usually it's when we're binging something, it's like you watch two of those shows in a night.
Yeah. Not too much, but not nothing at all.
Yeah. And you're watching, what was the thing? You're watching Rome?
Yeah, Avital loves Rome. We watched the entire first season. She's seen it like four times. I watched it for the first time. I have a feeling you'll like it a lot more than me. I said it was like Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones, but like grounded in history. So it's like basically about Julius Caesar and Mark Antony and Brutus and, you know, all those, the whole Roman Empire. And it was made in 2005 for HBO, but it looks like it could have been made last year. It's so good. And the actors are very good and it's very well written. And you know, there's I think two seasons and we only watch like the first, which is a self-contained story about like the rise and fall of Julius Caesar.
Oh, there's only two seasons?
Only two seasons. And I guess the first season is better than the second. So I've only seen the first.
Oh, I also think I talked about this, but Ozark is great.
Yeah. And I also hear good things about Never Have I Ever. And I have a friend on it, Christina Karchner. So watch Never Have I Ever before I do.
Yeah. And, you know, Ben and Thomas is... special is on Netflix.
That's right. Three Schwartz. Gosh, there's so much shit out there. We're never going to catch up, especially if we're podcasting like a bunch of dweebs.
Yeah, we should really stop the show so we can binge.
You don't watch a lot of comedies. All your stuff is like hour-long dramas.
Yeah, I don't watch any comedy. Maybe I should start. There was a time when I was like, oh, well, like I do comedy all day, so I don't want to do that at night. But now I don't really do comedy all day.
Right.
Maybe I should need it.
Yeah,
I heard the Good Place is really good.
Yeah, the Good Place and like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. There's like these shows that have like 50 to 125 episodes that you can just sort of like plow through because they're all 22 minutes long.
The last comedy I watched was Modern Family, and I think that was like 6 years ago. I don't know when it first came out, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it first came out I think 10 years ago, and I think it just ended.
Yeah, I think I watched the first two seasons of it, and that's like the last comedy I watched.
You're like, this is the pinnacle of comedy. I think I'm out as of this point. Is Devs a comedy?
No.
Oh, is that half an hour?
No, it's an hour, and it's pretty fucking weird, pretty fucking dark.
What about The Wire? Is that funny?
Yeah, The Wire is hilarious.
Do you watch Better Call Saul? Everyone loves that too.
No, I couldn't get into it. I don't know why. I heard it's like amazing, but I watch. There was sometimes these shows that like torture and kill people, I also can't do, which is weird because I love Game of Thrones so much. But that's why a show like Succession is perfect for me. It's like high stakes drama, but it's not like they're just torturing and killing people. It's all like emotional torture.
Yeah, it's also like borderline a comedy.
Yeah, I mean, Succession is a straight up comedy, and actually Billions is kind of a straight up comedy too. Those are the two best shows.
And I also watch Two and a Half Men a lot, so I guess that's the last comedy.
That's probably the furthest away from a comedy.
I've been watching Big Bang Theory.
Sheldon doesn't know anything. For someone so smart, he's pretty damn clueless. What else?
Baby Sheldon, what else? Young Sheldon, Boss Baby.
Sheldon.
I've been watching movies. Like, I'm starting to, like, structure my life as, like, oh, on Fridays, me and Avital will watch a movie with Sean and Christina. So it's like, okay, every Friday we have this movie to watch, and I'm watching movies that are considered like masterpieces that I don't really fully understand.
Oh, that's and do you like FaceTime Sean and Christina?
Yeah, we FaceTime them before, watch the movie, and then discuss it after.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the attention span for movies anymore. Now, it used to be like 3-hour movies are too long. Now 2-hour movies are too long for me. And then like it's gotten to the point where I'm like, God, is this movie almost over? It's been on for 1 hour and 6 minutes. There's still another 30.
And then what are you itching to do? What are you like, I wish this movie was over so I could look at Twitter now.
Exactly. Or I wish this movie was about Michael Jordan because I have an insatiable appetite for that.
Yeah.
I'll watch 6 hours of that.
That one is still coming out, right?
Yeah, it's two episodes every Sunday for five Sundays in a row. So today's episodes 5 and 6.
Are you excited for that?
Yes, especially because tonight's episode will be very Kobe-centric, so I'm excited to see that.
Oh, that is really cool.
Yeah. So that I can consume. That I've like watched twice already. And yet if it's like a movie that's like in the AFI top 100, like have you heard of Badlands?
Yeah. I think that like some of those movies are like the cinematic masterpieces and stuff are those yeah. are tough for me to get through also.
Right. It's like considered a classic American masterpiece, and I'm just like, this movie isn't good to me. Am yeah. I wrong? I can't be dumb, right? It must be every other film critic that loves it is wrong. I go to Rotten Tomatoes, it has 99%.
Yeah, I think those ones you have to like know a ton about cinema to appreciate, right?
I mean, it looked nice and it was made in 1974, which was impressive, but I don't understand why it's considered good. Maybe we can start a film review podcast called Why Is This Considered Good?
That is so funny. We should definitely do a Why Is This Considered Good podcast. Oh man, we should do that. We could also do a watch along.
So I'm like watching a film that's considered good that I don't quite understand. And at the end, I just ask, why is this considered good?
That's a great idea. We should do that. What's the AFI top 100?
Citizen Kane is on there, of course.
Right. All right.
So, another classic movie that I watched recently that like everyone's like, you know, it's so influential and important was Repulsion, which was like a Roman Polanski horror movie in like the 60s or 70s. Why is this considered good? Badlands is a good example.
Yeah. And then we would also get to watch like if we did all 100, we could watch Forrest Gump. And that would just be like us being like, I know why this is considered good.
Because awesome. I saw it when it came out. So if I saw it when I was 11, then it's good. But if it came out before I was born, then why is this considered good?
Let's start with 100. Ben-Hur, made in 1959.
We both love it. We're in tears the whole time.
I really think you and I should do this. It would be really funny.
From 100 down to 1. What's 99?
Toy Story. Right away. Perfect.
That's considered good. How many of those films do you think you've seen already?
Number 98 is Yankee Doodle Dandy, 1943.
Well, that's the thing. Some of the movies I have watched, I'm like, that was great. Like Singing in the Rain, I think was great. And that was made very early on. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was really good. I remember seeing that in high school. And then some movies are like, what was that? And why was this considered good?
Yeah.
I can't quite put my finger on why some are good to me and others are not.
Maybe we'll learn a little bit about film the way we learned a little bit about the EPL.
Yeah. Should we just watch Swim Fan though? Is that on the list?
We could do like alternating weeks where like sometimes we watch the AFI best movie of all time list, and then we also watch the worst movie of all time list. So we're like, why is this considered good and why isn't this considered good?
Or why is this considered bad? Freddy Got Fingered is hilarious.
There's something here.
All right, let us know what you think. For more questions and answers, send them all to, I guess not the answers, just the questions, theme songs and questions.
You can send the
say.
Answers. Send us the answers. If you feel like you fucking got them,
do it.
You think you're better than me?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Probably. If I were you, show@gmail.com. Still need questions. Still need theme songs. The opening one was Venet. And let's listen to the second verse as the closer because we stopped it a little early.
Yeah, second verse. Better than the first.
Thanks for listening. And for more of us talking to each other, there's our Patreon. Patreon.com/JA. We're watching Jake and Amir videos. We're answering questions. We did a JNA AMA. Maybe we'll keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Stay safe. Stay home. Put a mask on when you sleep over
stay
your
six
eyes.
6 feet away. That's what you really got to do. Just keep your distance.
That way, when you faint on someone, you want to make sure that you don't touch their feet. That's why it's like 6 feet away. So it's like if you collapse completely face plant, you want to make sure that you're not landing on anybody.
Yeah, you'll pure ground.
Yeah, it's the pure ground rule we're calling it. All right, we'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.
Later.
But later on in the episode, they settled down and got into a flow. They shared some tips and tricks, real life experience, and so I started to believe. And that's about the time that I began to grow. This this is more than just an advice show. Who needs a college degree when you know laughter's the best medicine? I can't wait to tune in again to those coy dudes on If I Were You. If I Were You.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.